Reverend Priscilla Price as she comes in her own way.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Before I get started with the message, you can be seated right quick. I have a message from the pastor. Pastor Pickens wanted you all to know, all of us to know, that he loves us,
amen,
that he misses us, and he thanks everyone for everything that they have done, the calls, the visits. He thanks everyone for that. But then he said something that was odd. He said, "Tell them I'm not dead."
Amen. Amen.
So I just think that God is just a good God.
Yes, he is.
Because he's still in the hospital, but he's expected to be released on Monday if everything goes well.
Amen.
So keep him in prayer. We all know Pastor Pickens, and we know that him not being here, that's hard on him. That's hard on him. So we're just going to keep him in prayer and keep him lifted up, that God brings him back to us safely.
Amen.
So thank y'all for that. I just look at how God worked with us and how he worked things out.
Amen.
For us. And we have to learn to walk that path that God has already set in place for us. So I'm going to go into a word of prayer, and then I'm going to have you stand for the scripture reading. My Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before your throne of grace just to say thank you. Lord, we lift you up. We praise you. We magnify you because you are a mighty God.
Yes.
You are a holy God.
Yes.
Father God, you're a God that never leaves nor forsakes us. Father God, you just keep us, Lord. You have your angels watching over us, Father God. You take us safely to our destinations and you bring us back safely. So, Father God, we want to acknowledge that you are our Lord and that you are God and that you are King of Kings.
Yes.
And, Father, we ask that you allow your spirit to flow through this place today.
Yes.
That somebody may receive you as Lord and Savior over their life.
Yes.
Those that don't know you in the importance of their sins, Lord God, open up their hearts. Open up their spiritual mind and their spiritual hearts so that they may see, they may hear, and they may be able to receive the word of God. Because, God, you are awesome. You sent your son to die on Calvary's cross. You are awesome, Lord God. You did that for a people, Lord God, that you knew how we would act. You knew how we would turn out, but you did it anyway. And, Father, we love you for that, Father, because you... Our scripture is going to be coming from Acts 9, 1 through 6. Acts 9, 1 through 6. And Reverend Dr. Price is my reader, so he's going to read the scriptures for Acts 9, 1 through 6. When you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
Book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen.
My topic today, this morning, is an encounter with Jesus.
Amen.
An encounter with Jesus. Bad when you can't see your own writing.
You're going to be just fine. Amen.
An encounter with Jesus. And the 3 points that I want to pull out from this particular passage is murder, false witness, and submission.
Amen.
Now, this particular passage that we're dealing here, right here, is one of the best passages that I can think of having an encounter with Jesus.
Amen.
When you look at this, Saul was a very well-educated man. He spoke many languages. He traveled the world over. And I began to think about that. I said, now this is an educated man. He's real smart. But you know, sometimes that's how we are. We think we're so smart that we fail to recognize that there's something missing. And that thing that was missing in Saul was not having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because he thought he was so smart that he was going to stop Jesus in his tracks. So that's why he was going around killing anybody that had any knowledge or any, what word I'm looking for?
Association.
Thank y'all. Any association with what Jesus was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So his thing was, okay, I don't agree with this. You know, a lot of times when the word of God is preached, we sit back and say, well, I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Never take the time to read it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Never take the time to study for ourselves.
Right,
never take the time to ask God to open up our understanding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We just going to go with what somebody else said.
Yeah.
So here, this is what Paul was doing. Paul was leaning to his what? His own understanding. And what does the word tell us about that? Lean not to your own understanding. And so when he began to lean to his own understanding, he took matters into his own hands. And so when he took matters into his own hands, he's going to go after who? Our Lord and Savior. He's going to go after who? God himself. We got to be careful who we're going after. We got to be careful what we're following after. God is a God like no other.
Amen.
There's no God like our God.
Amen.
And God has already laid the foundation. He's already laid the path. He's already set everything in place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So who are we to come and try to change God's mind or change God's direction?
Yeah.
It's already been done. I read somewhere in the scriptures that it said that we were created for what? For
pleasure.
God's
good, pleasure.
Good pleasures.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? That means I was not created for what I want to do. I was created for that God would have me to do.
Amen.
And once we realize that we were created for what God would have us to do and begin to do what God would have us to do, then we would be on the right path.
All right. Amen.
Sometimes it's hard when you think you know everything. That's why it's important that we understand that we're always learning and we're always growing. When you get to the point where you cannot learn anything else, something is wrong with that picture. Because we were made to learn. We were made to grow. We were made to get to the next level. So now back to Saul here. Saul, like I said, was doing these things to God's people. He was killing them, locking them up in prison, whatever he could do to discourage them. And can you imagine that when this situation came on board, that Jesus came and he taught his disciples, he taught the people, he taught them what thus said the Lord. Jesus said that he would never speak anything of himself. Everything that he said came from who? Came from the Father.
Yeah.
And so he was speaking the words that his Father had given to him. And people rejected him. They rejected him because they didn't understand. We have been taught all along to turn the other cheek, or to not turn the other cheek, but to repay evil for evil. That's what we had been taught. Jesus came saying, turn the other cheek. He's saying, we don't do that. This is not how we operate. And so that was hard for some people to understand. Can you imagine somebody coming in here saying, I need you all to love everybody in here? Somebody's going to say, but I don't like that person. Why do I have to love that person? Jesus said to love that person. God said to love that person. Why? Because God said that he was love. And if he is love, then we have to demonstrate that love. But some of us are going to fall by the wayside because we lean into our own understanding. But that's not what God wants us to do. So as we go through this process, we see that Saul didn't care if he murdered women, men, imprisoned them. He didn't care. He went all around doing what he thought was right in his mindset. And we have to be careful about trying to do what we think is right in our mindset. Because, you know, the devil is always busy. And he's always talking to us. He's always trying to get us off our playing field. He's always trying to get us to do something that he knows is not good with God.
Amen.
He okay with it.
Yeah.
But God's not okay with it.
Yeah.
So he's always going to try to steer you in that direction. We have to learn to be strong.
Yeah.
We have to learn to fight back. We have to learn to say, get out of my path.
Yeah.
We have to learn to talk to Satan and tell him, you have no place in my life.
Amen.
You have no place here. And when we begin to do that, then guess what Satan begins to do? Satan begins to back up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He begins to say, oh, it's something different about that one.
Uh-huh.
You know, they not falling for my tricks.
Yeah.
We have to be that vessel to be strong. And when Satan see that strength in you, guess what? He's going to go up the street.
Right.
Now, not to say he's not going to come back. He's going to come back because
he's
ever doing what he need to do.
Yeah.
But for right now, he's going to leave you alone.
Right. Yeah.
Isn't that a good thing to know that you have the power?
All right.
You have the power to keep Satan in his place.
All right.
And if you don't believe that, then you are not a child of the King.
Right.
You have the power. Because Jesus gave it to you. You have the power to keep him in his place. So this is how I see Saul here. Saul is doing the bidding of Satan. We cannot be caught up in doing the bidding of Satan. We cannot. So he's doing what he thinks is right in his mindset. Verse 4 says, and he, And it says, verse 3 says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Now look at that. Don't worry about your children. God's got them.
Amen.
May not be in your time, but God's got them. You just keep them prayed up. You just keep them before God.
Yeah.
You just teach them about God.
Yeah.
Because look what God will do here. God took the time to stop Saul in his path.
Yeah.
And he spoke to him from heaven. Now, this was a man who was murdering Christians.
Yeah.
This was somebody who was putting people in jail.
Mm-hmm.
This was somebody who was trying to change people's mindset about who Jesus was. But Jesus has all power. So he overpowered the situation of Satan that was brewing in Saul. He overpowered that, and he showed up on the scene. So when we need Jesus, he will show up. So turn your children over to Jesus.
Amen.
Turn yourself over to Jesus.
Yeah.
When you need him, he's going to show up.
Yeah.
Because he is that kind of God.
Amen.
He said the light from heaven. Shine out. Can you imagine what that was like? Can you just take a moment, visualize that in your mind for a moment. That you are on a horse or on a donkey I'm walking down the road, and all of a sudden, all this bright light is shining around you. And then all of a sudden, you hear this voice. Then you don't see anybody around, but you hear this voice. You got to stop and take note. You got to stop and pay attention. And see, God will do that to us. He will stop us in the middle of our mess and make us pay attention. I'm so glad that I serve a God like that. Amen. That loves me enough that he will stop me in the middle of my mess.
All right.
To help me to get it right.
Yes, God.
And then verse 4 says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Jesus asked the question. He asked Saul, how can you go around persecuting somebody you don't know? But guess what we do? We do that every day. We do that every day. We tear people down. We tear them apart. We try to make them feel bad. Then we try to make other people not like them because we don't like them. And you don't even know that person. And then one day, all of a sudden, God will open your eyes. And then you begin to see that person. You begin to notice that person. You begin to see something different in that person. God will show you some things. And then now you're saying, why did I do that? You did that because you allowed Satan to dictate to you how you should act. All we had to do was allow Jesus to dictate to us how we should act. And what Jesus tells us how we should act is with love, long-suffering, supplication. We got to do that. We got to pray when something don't seem right to us. We got to take it to God. When you take it to God and you pray about it, he's going to open your eyes and he's going to let you see the truth. But as long as we don't pray about it, as long as we try to lean to our own understanding, it's going to be there. And that's why some people are stuck in the same place for 20 years. Because they never let go of a situation. God is not going to force you to let it go. He tells you, I'm the way to let it go. He expects you to come to him so you can let it go. But the bottom line is, it's your choice. You can either let it go or you can hold on to it. And when you hold on to something that's not meant for you, you're miserable. You have no joy. You have no peace. You have no love. You have no hope. All these things are coming up on you. And your life seems sometimes like it's worthless. But God is a God of hope. He's a God of understanding. He's a God of peace. He's a God of joy. All these things is who he is. And verse 5 says, and he said, oh, we read that one. No. And verse 5 said, and he said, who art thou, Lord? See how the Holy Spirit had already showed this man? When God got his attention, then the Holy Spirit showed him who he was. Otherwise, he wouldn't have known to say Lord. And he said, and the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thus persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the prick. That's what my word says. And verse 6 says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will thus have me to do? When you have that encounter with Jesus, things change just like that. It don't take years. It don't take months. It don't take weeks. It don't take days. It don't take hours. It happens just like that. When you have that encounter with Jesus, he's going to change you quicker than quick. He's going to change you to a brand new person. You're going to look different. You're going to walk different. You're going to act different. That's the encounter when you have with Jesus. He's going to change your life through and through. Jesus is just good like that. But the thing that I like, now this man is murdering people and killing people. Now all of a sudden he's trembling in fear. That's what it meant when it said trembling. He's scared.
Yep.
Now I did all this dirt. to God's people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now God is calling me out.
Yeah.
So now I'm scared.
Yeah, yeah.
Why didn't we get scared before we did the act? Why didn't we ask God, what shall I do? Because that would have been the right thing to do. And Saul was not trying to do the right thing at this point in his life. And verse six, thank y'all. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thus must do. Now, God didn't tell him to go ask Sally Sue or Mary Ann or John. He didn't tell him that. He said, go to the city, and I will have someone to tell you what to do. Now, God always prepares what it is that we need. So God had somebody there prepared to help him to get to the point where God needed him to be. We have to understand, when God calls us out for something, he's going to equip you. He's not going to send you out there ill-equipped. He's going to equip you with everything that you need to get done that he has set in place for you to do. So don't be afraid when God calls you out. Don't be afraid when God tells you to do something. Just say, Lord, here I am. Send me. And he will do just that. And he will send you with the right information. He will send you with the right tools. We were talking in Sunday school this morning. I said, how is it that we can go down the street and we can see people in need, but what we will do is say, well, I'm going to pray for them? That's not what Jesus said, was it? What did Jesus say? We're supposed to be helpers to one another. It's not my job to judge what I see. It's my job to do what God told me to do. And God told me to love everybody. And if you love somebody, you treat them like you treat yourself. That's what Jesus said. You treat them like you treat yourself. So if I was standing out there on that street corner and I'm begging for alms, I don't need nobody to judge me to say, well, why are they out there?
Yeah.
You just do what God told you to do.
Yeah.
And when we do what God tells us to do, then guess what's going to happen? God is going to get the victory,
yeah.
And he's going to get the victory out of our lives.
Amen.
That person is going to get a helping hand that was probably much needed,
right.
That will give them some hope.
Yeah.
And this is what it's all about. It's about helping one another, giving us hope, because the next person that come along to help that individual can also give them some joy. God has it already worked out, people. We don't have to figure it out. He's already got it worked out, what we need to do, how we need to do it, when we need to do it. He has set somebody in your path, so stop walking away. Stop walking away with somebody coming to your path that God has put on your path for you to do what he has told you to do.
Amen.
See, God can't get no glory out of us if we're not willing to work. He can't get any glory out of our lives if we're not willing to listen to him and go beyond what somebody else may do.
Yes.
If you don't take anything else away from this message,
right.
Remember this. Lean not to your own understanding.
Yeah.
Because our ways are not God's ways.
Right.
And when we begin to lean to God's understanding and listen to what God says, we will become better people. We will become better Christians. We will begin to look like Jesus. We will begin to act like Jesus. We will begin to walk like Jesus. We will begin to talk like Jesus. And when we all come together, so I want to tell you a secret. This is what Satan is not telling you. He don't want you to come together. Do y'all remember the city, the Tower of Babel? Anybody remember that story?
Yeah.
Where they got together and they began to build this tower?
Yeah.
Those folks were on the same accord.
Mm-hmm.
So they were out there working, building that tower. And they were about to get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they were trying to go. They were trying to build that tower to get up there to heaven. But God said, no, no, y'all need to stay down here. So he confused their languages so they could not finish it. God realized at that point, when people come together, they can do all things. You can make some stuff happen when you come together. So I say this to you. Let's learn how to come together. Let's learn how to work together. Let's learn how to grow together. Let's learn how to lift Jesus up together. When we come into this house, it's going to be no more just sitting there being quiet. We're going to stand up and praise the Lord. We're going to stand up and shout his name. We're going to stand up and say, Jesus, come into my life. We're going to give him all the praise. We're going to give him all the glory because he is an awesome God. And he is an on-time God. And the thing that I love is that he died for you and for me. He didn't have to do that. But he loved us so much that he died on that cross. But the thing that I really love, he loved us so much that he got up. He got up. He got up. And when he got up, he made the difference in our life. When he got up with all power. So guess what? I have some power. I have some power when I follow Jesus. Because he got up with all power. And I'm so thankful that he got up. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to one day seeing him face to face for myself. I can't wait to see him for myself. God is a good God. And while we're here on this side, let us work while it is still day. Let us do what God has set in place for us to do, because he is worth lifting up. He is worth praising. Because he is a good God. Nobody else is going to come to your rescue but him. Amen. Nobody but Jesus. And we thank you. At this time, the doors of the church is open.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m., and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but he is the vine."